Scott Wilson, Senior Lecturer at Macquarie University in Environmental Science, who I told you was going to be on the show at the top. And how are you doing today, Scott?
I'm well, thanks, Ruth.
Thanks for coming in today on a relatively gloomy long weekend Monday.
That's okay. I had nothing else going on.
Oh, no, I'm sure you've got nothing else going on, because there's nothing going on in the environmental science world at all, is there? It's a complete dead no-go. Nothing to do, nothing to tell anyone.
Yeah, well, all right. Well, there's lots to do and there's lots to talk about.
Well, today you've come in... And I know environmental science, actually, all the environment subjects at universities have been swelling in intake over the last few years, haven't they? Have you noticed that influx of interest from young people?
Yeah, very much so. Over the last probably 4 or 5 years, we've seen a continuing increase in students taking on environmental science, sustainability courses within all universities across Australia. So there's that general interest, I think, and want from mostly young people, but not just young people, to study in this field. And there has been subsequently, because of this increase in awareness, you know, we've got businesses, corporations, industry, all employing our graduates now. So
yes, the career possibilities are really opening up. I mean, it's not just when you think about the transition to renewable energy, but all sorts of areas across the Green Frontier are really providing opportunities for innovation. And the science, of course, the science world is really at the base of all that, because you're providing the data and the feedback about what's going on in our environment and what we have to mitigate and adapt and change to accommodate in the next 10 to 20 years, which is why you've come in today to talk about this problem of plastic pollution, which the UN only last week described as the greatest crisis facing the planet at the moment. And I know in the middle of the night, sometimes I wake up and just think, you know, the planet's going to be suffocated by plastic, which is a petroleum byproduct and has been very cheap to produce as a result of being a byproduct of the oil industry. But you're involved, obviously you're involved in a lot of things to do with researching this area, and plastic would be something that you and your colleagues and your students are talking about a lot. But tell me a little bit about this project OzMap that you've become involved in and why you decided it was a good thing to spend your very precious time on.
Yeah, OzMap, which is the Australian Microplastics Assessment Project, is a nationwide project that's just rolling out now. We'll have our launch next month. And it's designed to give us a baseline level of microplastics in particular, but we're also looking at larger objects as well, around Australia, and engaging and raising awareness on the issues with schools and community groups, but also gathering valuable data at the same time. So for me as a scientist, I saw it as a great step forward in trying to further the amount of information we can gain on this problem.
So I know, you know, like 5 years ago, people were really concerned and we got a mass kind of public feedback about plastic bottles and that sort of pollution, the larger plastics. Mm. People became super aware of it. But I remember when people started talking about microplastics and it was like, oh, you know, this is actually the one we really have to worry about. Mm. What's the difference, just for people who haven't become aware yet? I mean, goodness, if you've got your head stuck in the sand, that's where you'll find the microplastic.
Exactly. So to give you an example, we've done some surveys around, you know, some parts of Australia, and on a square metre of beach, you might find on average across that whole beach less than one, about, let's say half an item over that square metre of the big stuff. But when we look at that same square metre and sort through any potential microplastics, we're seeing hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of fragments or pieces of plastic in that same square metre. So there's a lot there, and the cause for concern is that once it becomes small, it means it's more readily ingestible by a whole range of you know, critters, marine life, but not just marine life. There's concerns for terrestrial animals as well. And so that can affect the whole, the food chain, the whole ecosystem is being affected. So I'm sure your listeners have seen images of, you know, iconic species, you know, your whales, your turtles, even dolphins and fish and seabirds with plastics either stuck around their necks or you know, they've ingested it and they've died as a consequence of that. And that's definitely a cause for concern. But once these microplastics get in the environment, you're getting everything from plankton, so the, you know, the smallest organisms, they're at the base of the food chain, ingesting these plastics all the way through to your larger iconic species. So the microplastics are a greater concern because of that just large scale effect.
Infiltration.
Yeah. Mm.
And of course, I don't think people really stop to think about this, but the thing that alarms me about plastic is that it is not food. It's really the only, I mean, what else on the planet cannot ever be made into something else? Is there anything else? Because everything else can kind of degrade and break down and be reassimilated and turned into dirt, and then nutrients might add to that, and then you can grow food and it gets turned into carrots and blah, blah, blah. The whole wonderful loop goes on. But plastic just stays plastic even when it's invisible, doesn't it?
Yeah, and that's the problem. So plastic does not biodegrade as such. It will just fragment into smaller and smaller and smaller bits. We know now there's nanoscale plastics. So just to go back to the question of what microplastics are items of plastic, obviously, which is a polymer, and there's many different types of polymers, which are less than 5 millimeters in size, down to 0.1 of a mil. All right, so it's okay. That's tiny. Which is kind of getting around that cell size. All right, but now what we're finding when we're looking, scientists generally, that there's, as I said, plastics are just breaking down into smaller and smaller bits, and now we're finding a nanoscale, so it's kind of a thousandfold smaller again, and then potentially there's another size class called pico, which is another thousandfold.
Pico, I haven't even heard of pico.
Yeah, well, no Right. One's looked. We
No one wants to.
No. But I suspect that we'll find it eventually, yes.
Mm. So because it doesn't biodegrade, so let's just look at what that problem. Okay, so it's not food and it can't become a nutrient for any other organism. Because it doesn't biodegrade. What's the other, are there any other aspects of something that doesn't biodegrade that make it a problem?
Well, yeah, particularly with the plastics. The plastics themselves, all right, there's a lot of it and it's going to cause problems because it just builds up over time. The other main concern with plastics generally is the chemicals within them or on them. So when a plastic is made, they usually add things to it to give it its colour, its rigidity or flexibility or whatever. And they're called plasticizers. And so there's a whole group of chemicals they add into your polymer to give it its structure and make all the wonderful things that plastic makes.
Make it so versatile and the reason why we've got so much of it.
Exactly. But the problem is that those plastics can then leach out. So the polymerization process is not perfect. So when you have your cup or bottle or container, there is potentially chemicals leaching off that into your food, drink, whatever. So it's always good to, when you get a new product, plastic product, if you indulge in that type of material, then you should wash it thoroughly. And the other cause of concern is with when you heat plastics up. So how most plastics are molded is under heat. So when you put heat, something hot, into a plastic container or heat it up in the microwave, for instance, you are releasing more chemicals off that plastic. And that's going into your food and your drink and whatever. So
it makes me think of all those cigarette butts that I see around bus stops and along the street too, because, you know, people, I think I saw some research recently saying that combusted plastic inside those filters has actually been extremely problematic for people's lungs, way beyond the actual tobacco, and, and the tobacco industry has never been honest about that.
No, well, there's hundreds, literally hundreds of chemicals within the filter.
Just the filter.
Yeah. So that's where the issue lies, is that when a plastic particle is ingested by whatever species, including potentially us, then it is leaching out into our bodies or the organism's bodies and causing harm that way.
So it's a sort of stealth toxin.
Yeah, yeah. And the other nasty thing, or good thing if you look at it in some ways, about plastic is that they, when they're floating around in the waters or just in the environment, they actually absorb a whole range of other chemicals out of the environment that might be just floating or free floating in the water. And so you're getting all these other chemicals that weren't on the plastic initially binding to its surface. It actually acts like a sponge.
So I am used to thinking of that as a bad thing, but when you mention that it has a, it could be a positive thing, that could be useful if only we were being smart about it?
And it has been used. And so in like dams and cleaning up of lakes and things like that, they've thrown in plastic balls about ping pong ball size to actually clean up a lot of the waterway. And then they collect them again, of course.
That's the crucial bit.
Yeah, that's right. Hard to do in a large ocean.
Yeah.
But in an enclosed waterway, you can do it, and it has been done.
Mm.
So there is benefit. I mean, we, you know, even though plastics, yeah, we kind of look at them as a bad thing, they have a lot of benefits, obviously.
Oh, look, you know, I know the POD, which is another education project that the Total Environment Centre has rolled out to schools over the last 2 years, and that's aimed at primary schools. One of the aspects of that they really push is that, you know, plastic is kind of fantastic, and nobody's saying that it's an evil product. It's just this human inability to look after our waste and our rubbish that is actually what's made plastic into a sort of silent assassin of our ecosystems.